Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is David Gibson, Director of the Center on Religion and Culture at Fordham University, and an award-winning journalist, author, and filmmaker who specializes in covering the Catholic Church. He is the co-author of Finding Jesus, Faith, Fact, Forgery, which was made into a TV series on CNN. And he has an article at the New York Times, Will Pope Francis Take His Own Advice for Church Reform? Welcome to Background Briefing, David Gibson.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And the Pope, I think it's the first time actually a Pope has done this. He wrote a letter in response to the latest revelation from a grand jury in Pennsylvania of widespread sexual abuse of minors, 1,000 minors abused by more than 300 priests in a period over 70 years. And it would seem to me that the church has, particularly over the past two decades, since we seem to be keep going back to this story, you know, it's like Groundhog Day in a way, that they've resisted acknowledging the scale of the crisis. So let's start with the scale of this. If you have 300 priests, that seems like an awful lot. Do you know what percentage that would be of, I know it's over a period of 70 years, but do we have any idea of the scale of this problem within the ranks of the clergy itself?
Yeah, we do. And it is so many. As they say, one case is too many, and just one case is a tragedy. And when you're talking about 1,000 at least victims, I mean, these are the ones they have files on. These are the ones who've come forward. It could be higher. But you also have to put it in context in the sense that, you know, Pennsylvania is a very Catholic state, 25% Catholic, millions of Catholics, and you're talking about thousands of priests over this span. So, but it still amounts to 6-8% of the clergy, which is extremely high. In past surveys and past revelations, you've seen anywhere from 3-5 or 6% of clerics involved. So, you know, you put it in context, it falls in line with other organizations, teachers, Boy Scouts, that kind of thing. But what is the context here? I mean, this is, you know, at a certain point when you're talking about abuse, it's kind of irrelevant. You want to go to, A, the tragedy of the victims, and this happened a long time ago, but you also want to go to the question of institutional credibility, and finally, what needs to be done, what can be done so this doesn't happen again.
So in the Pope's letter where he talks to condemn the atrocities of priestly sexual abuse and the cover-ups that followed, and that he asked lay Catholics to join him in uprooting this culture of death. And just to quote a little bit of his letter, with shame and repentance, we acknowledge as an ecclesiastical community that we were not where we should have been, that we did not act in a timely manner, realizing the magnitude of the gravity of the damage done to so many lives. We showed no care for the little ones. We abandoned them. Of course, some people feel that it may not be too little, but it's a little too late. How do you see the Pope's reaction?
Well, I think it's a very powerful letter if you read it, and it's, you know, I think it's a very good start. I think it's important to realize, again, Pope Francis has been there for just 5 years, and in a way, these cases not only go back 70 years, there are hardly any in the last 20 years. That's not the point. That's not to say the matter, the problem has gone away. There needed to be this exposure, this purification of memory. These things needed to be brought to light, the names of the abusers, so that victims would feel that they'd at least had some, you know, recognition of what happened to them. So, you know, in a sense, this got, you know, dumped on Pope Francis's desk. But he also, and this letter is very powerful, but you need concrete steps to follow up on that. That's what people are looking for. I mean, you know, for Pope Francis, it's fairly new. For everybody else in the U.S. Church and in the United States, you know, I've been covering this for 30 years, since the 1990s, when we were told, oh, this isn't an issue, it's less than 1% of the priesthood, when they were told the media was the enemy, you're trying to bring down the church. So, you know, and I'm Catholic. I mean, for those of us you know, who've been living with this and covering this for so long, it's not new. And that's why I think the sense of outrage is so pervasive. It's not just, you know, liberal Catholics or just, you know, folks in the pews, just regular church-going Catholics who are outraged. Now, the right wing, the conservatives in the church who often defended past popes and defended the church and defended the hierarchy, they're outraged as well. So it's new, that level of outrage, and this is a good letter, but the Pope needs to follow it up. He needs to follow up on his own very strong words against this kind of clerical culture, which is really at the heart of the scandal.
But earlier this year, of course, Pope Francis had something of a crisis on his hands when he defended a Chilean bishop accused of covering up for a very notorious and scandalous priest. Then the Pope had to reverse himself. So after this Pennsylvania revelation, I imagine he is pretty rattled.
Yeah, I think that's a good read. I mean, I think there is, you know, he's very much wanted to reform the church, to open up the church, especially to not make it. He's been powerfully, you know, throughout his papacy and even before he became pope, this idea of this elitist clique of holy men, of priests and bishops and cardinals kind of running things and, covering for each other, he was against. But, you know, he's had an up-and-down record as pope, and this most recent thing earlier this year when he, you know, took the advice of the Chilean bishops themselves, said, hey, they had no problem. Then he was shown evidence, you know, that, look, this is a rock from top to bottom in the church in Chile with this abuse. And to his credit, he wrote a very heartfelt letter of apology, said, look, I was dead wrong. And the entire hierarchy in Chile submitted their resignations, something, you know, some people would like the U.S. bishops to do. So there's been kind of a learning curve for him, and I think that's a positive thing. I think you want somebody who has been rattled by this, as we have been rattled by this. And again, hopefully that progresses to some next concrete steps.
So in your article at the New York Times, David Gibson, Will Pope Francis Take His Own Advice for Church Reform? You talk about how the Pope has been very critical of what he calls careerists and airport bishops who spend more time flying around the world than tending to their flocks. And then, and this is what I want to focus in on, clericalism is a perversion of the church, Pope Francis told 70,000 young Italian Catholics at a rally this month. The church without testimony is only smoke. So tell us about what he's talking about in terms of clericalism.
Well, clericalism really, you know, in a shortly defined, is basically the old boys network. And again, it's an all-male priesthood, so it is all boys. And it's that idea that you've got this you know, divine set of men, the divinely ordained set of men with who are set apart and above everyone else in the church. And, you know, that it kind of creates this sort of cliquishness, this elitism where, you know, the sins of your own are covered up or that you're running things, et cetera. And he just really detests that. He thinks that, you know, this everyone is in the church and that everyone should have a say in the church and everyone should be consulted. And I think this is something that, you know, it's about the sexual abuse crisis. Again, this is about priests abusing children, but that's not as much what enrages people as the fact of cover-ups and shuffling around priests that enabled a priest not to just abuse one child, but a priest to abuse a dozen children. So it goes to an entire culture. It goes to an entire ecclesiology, an entire theology of the church that has to be rethought. And that starts with rethinking seminary education, how priests are trained, how isolated they are from the real world, and how prepared they are, you know, with their sexual maturity to deal with the vow of celibacy, for example. So there are a lot of moving parts here that feed into this culture of clericalism that needs to be vanquished.
But some critics who were watching the pulpits on Sunday in Pennsylvania said that a lot of the priests and bishops did address it. Others were sort of mealy-mouthed, and others sort of wrapped it up in sort of ecclesiastical gobbledygook. Some outright didn't even mention it. So what kind of reviews would you give the acknowledgement so far within the American Catholic Church about what happened in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think there have been a lot of, from various bishops around the country, there have been a lot of powerful statements, some of them calling for some unprecedented steps, you know, lay people supervising bishops, investigating bishops, you know, to see if they're doing the right thing or not, more lay people involved in the selection of bishops, not just leaving it to the Pope. There have been some good things, but again, it's been a sort of an up-and-down response. The bishops will be gathering in their annual meeting in November, where they're expected to address this thing and talk about some concrete steps. So we'll really see then what's going to happen. But again, you know, it's a hierarchical church, and that means it all lands at the doorstep of the Pope, in this case Francis. And the bishops don't really have the power or authority to govern themselves, to be watchdogs on themselves. So they need to the Pope to either set up or to okay some really, some mechanisms. But, you know, again, it varies from pulpit to pulpit and parish to parish in terms of the response of the pastors and the bishops, and also the interest and concern of lay Catholics. You know, it's a scandalous thing. A lot of us are tired of this, but there are also people who still love their church, and they love their parish, and they love their priest. And this is something that's a scandal that is somewhat removed from them. But in the end, it affects us all.
So when you mentioned a minute ago, David Gibson, how priests deal with celibacy, is that in itself a problem? I mean, is there any talk within the church of allowing priests to marry ordaining women? Is this just too much to ask for? In other words, a life of celibacy, because there clearly has to be a connection there between the fact that so many of these priests have failed in terms of their vow of celibacy.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm hesitant to place the blame entirely at the door of celibacy. I think they're not trained or educated to deal with celibacy. But again, you know, the bulk of abuse by far, the vast majority, is by married men who are, you know, abused children. So it's not that, but it is a contributing factor if you're not prepared for this life. And also it contributes again to that clericalism where we're a caste of men set apart, and there's a kind of, you know, everybody's each one has each other's back. The idea of, I'm a supporter of optional celibacy, and I think Pope Francis has also said, look, that's something we can certainly do. That's not divinely ordained. That's just church law. And in fact, he's convening some meetings to discuss that. I think what's important for the priesthood is to have a diversity of voices in there. Married men, they're talking about ordaining women as deacons. It's not ordaining them as priests, which seems to be off the table. Having more women ministers and deacons in there. Having more different voices in the conversation. Having more lay people in real exercising authority in the church. That's the kind of thing that would, I think, break up this kind of culture of secrecy and provide some accountability and better safeguards.
Well, David Gibson, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
It's been great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I've been speaking with David Gibson, who's director of the Center on Religion and Culture at Fordham University and an award-winning journalist, author, and filmmaker who specializes in covering the Catholic Church. He's the co-author of Finding Jesus, Faith, Fact, Forgery, which was made into a TV series on CNN. And he has an article in the New York Times, Will Pope Francis Take His Own Advice for Church Reform? And we're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back discussing whether President Trump tried to force a mistrial in Robert Mueller's case against Paul Manafort and is guilty of jury tampering.